It's amazing to me because, see, I didn't become a Christian. I didn't cross that line of faith. You know, I've never made my decision till the 70s. But I remember when I made my decision, I became a Christian. I hadn't been a Christian very long. And Jesus was coming in 1975. All right? I remember 1975. He was supposed to come in 1975. I remember moving to Willits when I was pastoring up in Willits. If you don't know, Willits is on Highway 101 going up north towards Oregon. Well, I passed it into town. It was about, I could throw a rock from my church to Highway 101. And we got people walking up from all over, walking up Highway 101. They had their white gowns on, you know, looked like pajamas. You know, what do they call them? I don't remember what they called them. Night clothes, you know. They had those long garments on, white on. And they're walking towards Oregon. They're going to go sit on a mountain, wait for Jesus to come. I'm serious. In 1980, they were heading towards Oregon, some mountain they were going to set on and wait for Jesus. And they needed money, so they'd make the rest of their trip. And they were hungry, and it's like, go to work. You know, he's coming, but, you know, go to work right now. He ain't here yet. And I can remember, I remember when I came as pastor of this church, that I got a little book in the mail from somewhere, and I remember where it was from. They sent them to all sorts of churches. I think it was 1984, 85, somewhere in there. They even had a date, September 21st, 1985 or something. Jesus is coming. There was another book about 1981, 88 Reasons to Believe Jesus Will Come in 1988. Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, it just went on and on. I mean, I've seen things in 1990, 95. I found a great website, and as I looked over the website, it had predictions. Every year there was some Christ is coming, bang, Christ is coming, bang. 91, 92, 93, 94. I mean, right on down the list. Yeah. And it's nothing new. I want to tell you, again, as I did the research, I didn't know this, but do you know they were predicting 155? You know, 155. I'm talking, you know, a long time ago. I made some notes so I wouldn't forget what they said. Yeah, in 155, a man named Montanus and his followers in Antola, Central Turkey, waited anxiously for Christ's imminent return. How about this one? It even had a date. March 25th, 970. Not 1970, 970. The Lithuanians, computist, foresaw the end of the world. They even had a date, March 25th. What about, we had Y2K. What about Y1K? What about that first one? They were worried about this. Here's this one. London. February 1st, 1524, they predicted Christ coming back. The end of the world was coming. They predicted a great flood in London, that it was going to be a flood in London and they would be washed away. Around 2,000 people abandoned their homes. A clergyman stockpiled food and water in a fortress he built. It happened, it didn't even rain on that day. I mean, it goes on and on and on. The Jehovah Witness, I put these dates on because it was amazing to me. The Jehovah Witnesses, they predicted the world ending 1914, 1915, 1918, 1919, 1920, 1925, 1941, 1975, and 1994. And we're still here. Yeah. I mean, we read all this, you know, will the world really end? Here's what I want to tell you something. Just, you know, we're going to talk more about this next week, but I want to tell you something. According to the Bible, someday the trumpet's going to sound and this world is history. Okay? You want to write it down somewhere on your note. Write 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. You can just go there and read that on your own. I don't have the scripture up here. I just want you to know, someday the world will end. It's over. It's finished. All right? But here's the problem. We get all these predictions, all these ideas, all these great thoughts, and we got a problem. Look what the scripture says. No one knows about the day or hour, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, be alert. You do not know when that time will come. No one knows. So here's what I want to tell you. Right now, I am willing, based on the Word of God, to give you guys a guarantee. He will not come on December 21st, 2012. Guaranteed. All right? Because nobody knows. Nobody. Anytime you get these books, and I mean, I'm doing a, I hate to admit this, but we're doing a study on Revelation in my home group. It's a book that I struggle studying because it's not, you know, It's a good study, though. We're having fun. We're having fun. But we're going to get through the end of the book of Revelation. You know what? We're going to have it all figured out for you. Now come back and tell you, right? No. Nobody knows. Nobody knows. All right? So anytime somebody says, I've got it all figured out, you go, uh-huh, sure. Nobody knows. So here's what I want to think about as we do this. What am I supposed to do then? What am I supposed to do as 2012 rolls around? What am I supposed to do as 2011 rolls around? I mean, you know, what am I supposed to do? I tell you what looks really neat is when you put those numbers together, you have 12.21.12. Type that in the internet and see what you get. Excuse me. But nobody knows. So my thing is, what am I supposed to do? Figure this all out, wrestle with it, debate it, write a book on it. I'm going to write a book that nobody knows and spend. I wonder if that might sell. Yeah. What do you do? Look at this next scripture. I need to check out what I hear. This is what I want to tell you. This morning's message is really going to be really simple. You need to check out what you hear. If you go by the movie 2012 on Tuesday when it comes out, enjoy watching it, okay? That's it, all right? Check out. This is what I want to do. Here's what I'm going to do this morning. I'm going to do exactly what this verse says. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. I need to discern, I need to investigate, I need to check out and see if there's any false prophets. Is this true? Is this thing on 2012 true? What about Nostradamus? I'm going to talk about Nostradamus this morning. What about all his prediction? What's going on there? Is there any truth to all of this? What's going on? There's this thing called a Webbot. I didn't know anything about this. We need to check out. When somebody says something, even me, this morning, I want you to go home, open your Bible up, and check out these verses and see what verses are around them. Go home, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and read that. Paul starts out saying, brother, I do not want you to be ignorant about those who have passed away. And he goes into the dissertation. They were worried about people who were dying before Jesus came back again. And Paul says, don't worry about it. Here's what's going to happen. The trumpet's going to sound. He just lays it all out for you. Don't try to figure, check it out. Read the Bible. Check these verses out. Maybe, did I get it quoted right? Read it in a different translation. We need to check out what these are saying. We need to hear what they say and what they mean. And do we trust them? And how can we trust them? And so what I want to do this morning, real quick, I want to talk about the Mayan calendar. I want to talk about Nostradamus. And I'm going to talk about a Webbot. First on the Mayan calendar. The Mayans were very, very intelligent, very good astronomers. Their calendar, so you understand, their calendar is better than our calendar. They were better at their predictions and their understanding astronomy and the moving of the sun and the moon than our calendar. Their calendar, even though their calendar is older than ours, it was better. I put some notes down here so I could share them with you. They calculated the lunar month within 24 seconds. Without a telescope, without a computer, without anything else. They calculated that a lunar month within 24 seconds of what it was. It's 20 days, point, something. And they were within 24 seconds of what it was. They figured out the lunar year, the year, and how the year works. And this is what it is. The solar year was estimated at 365 days, .245. That's what they said. You know what it really is? 365.2425. So 4,000 years ago, they were within just seconds, thousandths of having their calendar figured out. They predicted comets going by with accuracy. They were just tremendously talented, logical, intellectual people who were good with their calendar. It's undeniable about their calendar. But what you need to understand is they had three different kind of calendars. And the calendar that the movie 2012 and all this conversation is based on is called their long calendar. And their long calendar, well, here's, you got to back up for just a minute as I look at the calendar so you get a picture here. We look at time as a line. We're linear in our thinking. Point one, point two, point three, point four, very linear. They looked at time and they seen things as a cycle. And so their long calendar was made up of five cycles. And a cycle would go by of 5,100 and how many days? 25 days. So a cycle would go by 5,125 days. And another cycle would go by 5,100. And there was five cycles that would go by. And at those five cycles, it was all based on astronomy and all the things in the sky. And then at the end of those five cycles, the calendar starts over again. But the problem is, we're saying at the end of the five cycles, it's over. But that's not their calendar was. Here's a cycle, here's the next cycle, here's the next cycle. And what it's based on is their study of astronomy. You know, isn't it interesting if you look at the cycle based on astronomy that, well, what? Halley's Comet came by, and guess what? It's going to come by again. You see how they've seen a cycle going through this? All the planets. And here's something to be, this is true, though. This is what they understood, and this is what's going to happen in 2012. There is going to be a lining up of the sun, the earth, and the equator is all going to line up in 2012. Now, it hasn't happened based on their calendar and what they knew for 26,000 years, but it has happened before. All this is going to line up. Also, what's going to happen in here, this is what they're all talking about, and this way you got to be worried, okay? I'm trying to throw some scare into you, okay? Yeah. Because what's going to happen at that is we're going to line up with the black hole in the Milky Way. All right, so all this is going to line up, and we don't know what's going to happen. And their calendar ends on 2012. And they got it all figured. And it's all going to line up. It's all going to figure out, and they don't know. I didn't know this, that you know our Earth has a wobble every 78 years. It wobbles. They don't know. Here's one of the predictions. I thought this one's amazing. They don't know if it's going to happen. That the poles are going to flip. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, it's amazing to read all this, but they were good astronomers. What they have analyzed is true. All the stuff they say is true. The problem is, we're looking at our calendar, and everybody's going, okay, their calendar ends, so I guess they must have knew something we didn't know. The world's done. Pack your bags, you're going home. It's nowhere. What's interesting to me is we got all these people jumping on this, but you go talk to the Mayan historians, and they're just going, we're just going to start a new cycle. Even the Mayan historians saying, you guys are crazy. Yeah. And so we look at this calendar, and it's out there. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm sharing this with you in 2010 because you need to know in 2012, by 2012, you're going to be doused with all this garbage. All right? They were good astronomers. I'm not going to deny that. They understood the cycles. They understood how things moved and how the planets fluctuated. And I guess I made a mistake last week because I said Newton discovered that the Earth wasn't the center. And it was, his name starts with a C. Somebody help me out. Copernicus, thank you. I said it was Newton last week. It wasn't Newton. Somebody corrected me and thank you. It was Copernicus that said the Earth is around, I mean, that everything functions around the sun, not the Earth. These astronomers seen these things. They were brilliant people. They were smart people. They didn't have the computer. They didn't have telescopes. And they figured all this out, and they did a good job. But nowhere does it say, well, when December 21st rolls around, 12:20, go home. I like that, because you know what I'm going to do? I'm not going to go Christmas shopping until 12:22. That way, if it does end, I don't have a bunch of Christmas presents I wasted my money on, okay? That's what I decided. I decided I'm not going to go Christmas shopping until 12:22 on 2012. Because I don't want to waste my money. I'd rather spend it on me than on you guys. I don't care. You know? But that's the Mayan calendar and the crazy things that are out there and the crazy things people are buying into. So if you get this movie this week, it's been out. It'll probably be on TV pretty soon now that it's out on DVD. I had some pictures of it in the PowerPoint, in the video that started the service with. Don't fall prey to it. Check it out. Check out all the stuff they're saying. You know, and like I said, what was interesting to me as I was doing this research, coming to the part that says historians don't think this is going to cycle through another cycle. Okay. Well, if even the historians who studied the Mayan people think things are going to cycle, give me a break. Yeah. So this Mayan calendar, don't get caught up. They were good people. They did have some good studies. They did find some good things. What's going to happen? I'll be honest with you. Most scientists, honestly, we don't know what's going to happen. But here's what I do know. 26,000 years ago, we went through it and we did okay. So I have a feeling we're going to make it through it again, okay? The only thing that can change is if Jesus decides to come back. That's it, all right? And God's got that on his time schedule. It has nothing to do with the calendar, the Mayan people, or even Gary and Gary's idea, all right? It's God's plan when he decides to come back. So the Mayan calendar, check it out. Read about it. It's fun to do the research. I got a great website. If somebody emailed me, I'll email you a great website that just debunks all sorts of stuff. That was fun to read their website. And then I got another website that have all these predictions. I mean, just one right after the other and just went bang, bang, bang right through all the different predictions of when he was going to come. But I also want you to think about another thing you need to check out. Because when you say his name, everybody goes, Nostradamus. I mean, you know, nobody's on par, I mean, at least according to History Channel. I mean, they have so much Nostradamus, I'm sick of it. I don't even watch it, okay? You need to know, I don't know anything about Nostradamus except what I did in this research right now. But all I know is people believe in Nostradamus. They believe this guy had it all figured out. He had it all worked out. Some reason he could see the future. Well, I'm going to tell you about Nostradamus. He was born, again, I had to write my notes down because I didn't want to make a mistake here with Nostradamus like I did last week with Newton. He wrote in about 1554 his prophecies. They're divided into what's called, I want to get this word right because, again, it was a hard word. They were four things and they were called quatrains. They were collected in what was called centuries, nothing to do with years. And that's how they were divided up. And they were just four lines each. And here's how he did it. It was called a scrying, okay? S-C-R-Y-I-N-G, scrying, all right? And what he would do is like looking into a shiny object. You ever hear somebody looking into a crystal ball? That's what scrying is called. You look into a crystal ball or something shiny, or a bowl of water. So what Nostradamus would do would take a bowl of water and stare into this bowl of water until his vision blurred. He could get by what he could see visually, and then he'd have a vision. All right. Now I'm going to ask you something. As I thought about this, here's what I thought. Anybody ever see those funny pictures that have all these designs in it, and then you stare at it long enough, and you see something? Anybody ever seen those pictures? I think this is kind of wacky myself, okay? Excuse me. But he would stare into this. He would peer into this image until he's seen this vision. And then he would write this vision down. And these visions would become his prophecies. Vague prophecies. But he prophesied all sorts of things. And what I did this morning, I pulled out a few. I pulled out just three. All right? I pulled out three prophecies that Nostradamus have that people have identified and said, this is what he's talking about. Okay, here's the first one. Look at the first one here. Beast, furious from hunger, will swim across the river. The greater part of the region will be against the Hister. The treat one will cause to be dragged in an iron cage when the German child will observe nothing. This is a prophecy that they say is about Hitler. All right? Don't you see Hitler in there? Look, Hitler's there. Look, right there. Push it again. Push it again. Hister. Doesn't that rhyme with Hitler? Come on now. Help me out here. They say this is Nostradamus prophesying about Hitler. And they identify this one with Hitler. All right? How about another one? Look at another one here. Near the gates and with two cities, there will be two scourges, the like of which never was seen. Famine within, plague, people out by steel. Man, I'm really. All right. Near the gates and with two cities, there will be two scourges, that like of which has never been seen. Famine within, plague, people put out by steel, crying to the great immortal God for their relief. You know what they say this prophecy is? The dropping of the atomic bomb on Nagasaki and Hiroshima. Two cities. They got that correct, didn't they? A scourge like nobody's ever seen before. They got that correct. I don't know about a famine. I don't know about a plague. I don't know about any of those other things that talks on, but they say this is Nostradamus predicting the atomic bombs. You know what I find is interesting as I look at these? Is how they find these predictions after it happened. You know, instead of saying, well, this is the future, they say, well, this is that. This, they can always find them after it happened. But what I was excited about, though, is we now know who the beast is. You know, all we have was numbers in the Bible. You know, the number 666, that's all we know. But Nostradamus figured it out. All right, here it is. Mabus will soon die. There will come of people and beast a horrible rout. Then suddenly one will see vengeance, hundred, hand, thirst, hunger, when the comet will run. Do you see that? Mabus is the name of the beast. All right? And here it is. You take Obama and Bush, you put it together and push the button one more time, and you get, I shouldn't have had to do that, but here we go. It'd come. Push it. You get Obama, Bush, and one more time. And you got Mabus. All right? So now we know. If you're a Republican, you're part of the beast. If you're a Democrat, you're part of the beast. You know, you can't say it's a party thing anymore, all right? It's both of us, all right? You know, it's everybody. I mean, come on. Seriously, this is what you read. This is what you see. Nostradamus predicted all this stuff. Do you guys see that? Am I missing something? Yeah. It's amazing to me. Because what the Bible says is this. Go ahead and push it. One more. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Is that true? You know? We need to check it out. Now, here's this last one I wanted to look at. As you can tell, I had fun with this, okay? This is a thing called Webbot. You're going to hear more about this, too. I didn't know anything about this, so I started reading and doing some research. It's called Webbot, W-E-B-B-O-T. Some guy, he won't identify himself, so they call him Cliff. All right, because he won't say who he is. And what Webbot does is Webbot searches the net, and it was designed to predict the stock market and stocks. And so what it has, they call it spiders, and you give a spider a word, and that spider crawls through the internet. This is how they do it, okay? Based on that word, and it goes and finds that word on different web pages and pulls out something like 2,500 words around it or something like that and creates a cluster. And then somebody gathers all these clusters up, and they get a prediction. And it's been pretty good in the stock market. They said it's done fairly well in the stock market. But now they've taken that and started putting it in to predicting the future. All right. They put two things together. They put December 21st, 2012, and Nostradamus together. You know what they say? We got a slam dunk. The world's ending. Yeah. But here's some things that it predicted. I wrote these down because, again, I wanted to make sure I got these right. Here's some things that they predicted for last year, all right? U.S. shops ration food for the first time. Anybody go to the grocery store last year and couldn't get any food? Op-ed piece, we must ration gasoline. Oh, here was a good one. And Israel bombs Iran, end of October, early November. November, December, Iran and Pakistan unite together and go after Israel? Did I miss that war? Did I sleep through that one? Yeah. Here's this other one, 2009. Low-lying area, territory, global, and foresees great flooding in low-lying area. So don't live. They said, don't live in Florida and other low-lying areas because you're going to be flooded out. We're going to lose land. This is what they, and people are buying this trash. Will the world end? I'm going to tell you, yes, it's going to end. Does anything with 2012 have anything to do with it? No. Does Notre Dame have anything to do with it? No. Does this webbot have anything to do with it? No. Is some preacher out there that's going to say something new have anything to do with it? No. Does anything Gary said about it have anything to do with it? No. The only thing that matters is no one knows. Period. So what do I got to do? Here's what I want you to look at. I want to trust the Bible. All right. The Bible is not vague in its prophecies. The Bible is not, we're just going to say Mabus and we're going to say all this. It's not like that in the Bible. When the Bible says something, they made it very clear. Read your Old Testament and you can find some very clear prophecies. Hundreds of them in the Bible. Look at what the Scripture says. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The Bible is the inspired word of God. I trust this book because God wrote the book. He used men, he inspired them, and they wrote this book, and I trust it. But here's another part I wanted to make sure you get. In the Bible, you know, if Nostradamus lived by the biblical rules, if whoever's making these 2012 predictions lived by the biblical rules, they would have a problem. Because look what it says. Look at the next scripture. You may say to yourself, how can we know when a message has not been shown by the Lord? If that prophet proclaims in the name of the Lord does not take place or come true. That is a message the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken presumptuously. Do not be afraid of them. What that says is don't be afraid of 2012. Don't be afraid of Nostradamus. Don't be afraid of no webbot. Don't be afraid of the next book that comes out and says it's going to be 2011 in November. I don't know. Yeah. Don't be afraid of that because it says it's not from God. I'm going to ask you, I'm having a great time studying the book of Revelation in my home group. And the one thing we've learned so far, we're on the fourth chapter, is guess who's on the throne? God. When it's all over and done, God's still on the throne. I trust the Bible. When it said something was going to happen, it happened. Period. I love Moses. I enjoy Moses. When Moses came to Pharaoh and said, Pharaoh, you better let my people go or God's going to hit you with some flies. Guess what happened? Pharaoh had flies. All right? That's not good enough, Pharaoh. Well, then you're going to get some locusts next. And guess what happened? There were locusts. All right? 10 times. I don't get it, man. It's not going to take me 10 times to learn to listen to God. I pray it don't take you 10 times to learn to listen to God. Yeah. When God says something, it happens. The prophecies are true. And that's why I trust. Because here's the rule for the Bible. This is a great rule. If you claim to be a prophet of God and you were wrong, not 50% of the time, let's say you were right 75% of the time, even if you're right 99% of the time, here's what would happen to you. Take this little passage in 21st chapter and the 18th chapter, back up a little bit. And if they weren't right, they were dead. I'm not going to prophesy too much if they're going to kill me if I'm wrong, okay? And that's what would happen. If a prophet was false, they were to kill him. Period. I don't think Nostradamus would have lived very long, all right? They're not vague prophecies. I gave you in your folder here, in the back of your worship outline this morning. I don't know how I cut one off. There's supposed to be 10 there. I only got 9. I don't know how I... As I put this together, I messed up some way. But here are 9 prophecies about Jesus. I'm going to take the biggest prophetic point that we need to have in the Word of God is the prophecies about Jesus. Jesus being God's son, born of a virgin, born in Bethlehem. It all fulfilled those prophecies. Why do I trust the Bible? Because it just keeps coming true. I'm going to tell you, the Bible is not a history book, but it contains history. The Bible is not a science book, but it contains science. I always think it's funny that they thought the world was flat, but you read the Bible and it says God put the sphere out there. And it's like, why didn't they just read the Bible? They would have known. Duh. Yeah. Wake up, folks. Just read the Bible. It says sphere. It didn't say flat. You know, it didn't say plateau hanging out there. It said God hung a sphere out there. You know, now, it's not those history. I found this quote this week I thought was really good. The Bible, or history and science don't prove the Bible. The Bible proves history and science. I like that. You know, someday, you know what? Science will catch up with the Bible. Just like they caught up with the world not being flat. They'll catch up someday. You know, same thing with history. Because the Bible, the prophecies, look, just keep coming true. These are just nine. Not ten, nine. These are just nine. You read the little quote there at the bottom. I'm not going to read all that to you. But it talks about 300 prophecies. And if you took all the prophecies, just eight of the prophecies. I got nine. If you just took eight of them. For Jesus to fulfill eight of them, it says here at the bottom, ten, the number ten, was 17 zeros. Anybody want to gamble on that one? See, I trust the Bible because, you know, it just keeps being true. Over and over and over again. You know, one of the ones I really love is when in Jerusalem, years and years ago, the archaeologists were saying, well, see, the Bible's wrong. Here's what they were saying. The Bible's wrong. See, it says Jesus went to this portico of five porches at this pool. And Jesus did this miracle at this pool with five porches. And all the archaeologists and all the science and all the people in that time said, that's wrong. Because there's no pool with five porches. We can't find it. It's not there. The Bible is wrong. All of a sudden, they're digging to build a building, and guess what they find? A pool with five porches. Over and over again, it's like, come on, guys, wake up. If it says it, it's there somewhere. I don't know how they walked around the walls of Jericho and they came tumbling down, but I sure know an 8.8 earthquake down in Chile sure did a good job. God can do whatever he wants. See, do you trust the Bible? That's where I want to come to today. Do you trust the Bible? Is it just a good book you have laying around the house collecting dust? Is it just that good book that mom or dad or aunt or uncle or somebody gave you that, you know, got the name in it and the date they gave it to you and you have sitting around the house? Or is it a book that you trust? Or are you going to trust Hollywood with the next movie that comes out? I don't know what it's going to be. From what I hear, there's going to be like 10 more movies about 2012 coming. I don't know what the next one is. Is that what you're going to trust? What's the next movie Hollywood's putting out? You know, I don't trust Hollywood for anything, I hate to tell you. Yeah. Well, I do. I trust Hollywood for scandals and, never mind. Eight marriages. Oh, let's keep going. What do you trust? You're going to trust Nicodemus, who come to Jesus one night and says, I want to believe. Help my unbelief, basically. And Jesus shared with him. See, what do you trust? This world will end someday. No one knows when. No one has any earthly idea when this will end. But someday it will. Until that day comes, we're going to see prediction after prediction after prediction. If it's not Y2K, it's 2012 now. When 2012 goes past, I don't know what it's going to be, but somebody will have something else. Maybe it's somebody else's calendar. You know, I don't know. Or are you going to trust the book, God's word? That's never failed. It's inherent, infallible word of God. Do you trust it? See, God prophesied about his son, that he loved us so much that he sent his one and only son to die on the cross for us. Do you trust it? Do you trust him to give you all eternal life forever? Do you trust him to give you a life that's abundant and fulfilling today? Do you trust him? See, that's the question you got to ask yourself. Will the world end? I'm going to tell you yes. But nobody knows. but I trust God. The bottom of your page, I put it real simple. I hope you look at it there. Well, let me read some more verses. Let's go on. I'm sorry. I wanted to point these verses out. Thank you. No one knows about the day or the hour, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, be alert. You do not know when the time will come. Let's go on. One more. This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. What did I tell you to do? Check it out. Ask for the ancient path. Check it out. Ask where the good way is and walk in it. And you will find rest for your souls. But you said, we will not walk in it. I'm going to ask you, what path will you walk till 2012? What path are you going to walk? Will you walk in the path that is right? Will you walk in the path of truth? Or will you be tossed about by whatever's new on the internet, whatever the History Channel shows or the Discovery Channel shows, or whatever piece of garbage Hollywood puts out on the screen? Or will you trust God's word? I want to ask you, would you answer like this? We will not walk in it. Is that what you're telling God? Will you walk with the Lord? Bottom of the page, I put it this way. I live every day for God. That's it. I don't know when Jesus is coming again. I don't know about you, but I've been outside when it's kind of eerie. I've been outside and I've been outside and it just kind of feels eerie. And I've wondered to myself, is this the time? I've done that. I don't know about you guys, but I've done that. I mean, it's just like, oh man, is this the time? Is Jesus coming now? I don't know. I don't know. We might walk out and hear the trumpet as we're walking out the door. I'll wave at you guys. I hope you're going with me. You can if you know him, all right? All right? You know, if you've crossed that line of faith, you can go with me because I'm going. All right? But will you walk in it? See, it's your choice. You can walk in this world in the next few years all fearful and afraid, nervous and stressed, packing up. I'm going to get me some 50-gallon drums of rice, a 50-gallon drum of beans. I'm going to get ready. I can live on beans and rice if it doesn't happen, What are you going to do? What are you going to do? I want to live in peace and rest with God. Do you? Will you cross that line of faith? Will you make a decision to say, I'm going to trust God because I trust his word? Do you trust him? Do you trust him? So when the trumpet sounds, you're ready. Let's pray.